Captain Combs, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning, Glass. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning.
And the air conditioning in the squad cars will be churned up, raring to go, but it always is, as you've told us before, with all the electronics and stuff in there. You guys have to keep it cool all the time, don't you?
We absolutely do. The problem with the heat, not only does it affect officers and people like that, but just all the electronics we have in the car now, like you said, the computers, the video monitors, and all the different things we have going on, you've got to keep those things cool, because when they overheat, they shut down, and when they shut down, we can't use them. As I said before, it's their little office, so they don't even have to go back to station a lot of times to get things done, as long as all that equipment's working. But when it stops working, it slows everything down.
And keeps it all charging, everything plugged in through there, so those batteries are up and running.
You know, we all experience something with this heat with electronics, and if you leave your phone in the sun in your car, even if it's not a really hot day, you will find out it will shut down. So your stuff is much more complicated than that and certainly needed, so we don't want that to happen.
And then the other thing about this is, Captain Combs, when people see the officers' cars running, it's not wasting fuel, or we're trying to destroy the atmosphere. We're trying to protect and serve.
Right. We've had that brought up a lot of times before. Even when our guys are going on a lunch break or something, and they're out of the car for 30 minutes or 40 minutes, the problem is if all those electronics shut down, they won't start back up for a long time. So they have to keep those cars running, and that's just one of the things that, technology is great. It lets us do so much. It lets us do a lot more with fewer officers and all that kind of stuff, but it has to work, and again, we have to keep those cars running. So that's one of the things you'll see out there, and it's not about us trying to be, evil. It's about us trying to get jobs done.
That's exactly right. So we want to pass that information on so people can understand the why behind it and not be wondering, geez, what, that's a waste of fuel, waste of resources. No, it's not. Now you know why all that happens. Captain Steve Kellums is our guest this morning, checking in from the Bloomington Police Department and talking about resources, talking about everything else that goes along with it. It's been a busy couple of weeks. We've seen Mayor John Hamilton help patrol the streets and go downtown and see what's going on. We've also seen new patrols at People's Park. We have seen a new edict. I don't know if it's a new edict, but the zero tolerance policy now on drinking, fighting, and doing everything else. Tell me how this came about, and tell us how yourself and Chief Dekoff are making things work. Because you mentioned resources, we know you just don't have a unlimited pot of gold or a money tree growing on East 3rd Street.
Well, if only, right?
Right.
Some of the problems that we've had, and this has been going on for a long time, so while it may seem sudden to some people, or while a lot of others may be saying, well, it's about time you guys have cared about this, it's been a problem for us for a very long time. And you've seen these kind of incremental changes to how we're dealing with some of the problems in the downtown area. And resources are a huge problem for us. The amount of officers we have are just so limited. And the calls that they go on, as we've talked about before, with over 60,000 calls per service a year when we're looking at the police department, and the size of Bloomington has continued to grow and grow over the years. And unfortunately, our police department hasn't really kept pace with that. So we've had to be really inventive about what we did. Several years ago, we added the Downtown Resource Officer Project, and that we were putting about 10% of our patrol resources into officers that dealt solely with the issues and problems that took place downtown. And their focus and function were on helping those people experiencing homelessness in the downtown area, getting services for the people that needed services, getting them homes and eviction treatments and all of those kinds of things. And it's been very successful. We very much like that program. But we continue to have all of these problems and complaints, not only from the downtown business owners, but from the visitors that come to Bloomington. And we saw those issues and problems ourselves with our calls for service that really go up in the summer months, particularly with the parks, the People's Park downtown, Second Seminary Park on Second Street. These are places that have caused us problems. So we just kept building into some of these new resources. The mayor, he went out and walked with Susan McCarter with our parking enforcement, because this year one of our new addition or changes was taking those people that are already walking in the downtown area, giving them some additional training, some extra training, and allowing them to be a little bit more of eyes and ears for us in the downtown area and doing some of those things. And that's a brand new program for us. And so he wanted to see how that was working. So it was great for him to come out and walk the downtown area and see that. We also, as been reported, added utilizing some of the IU part-time officers, those police officers from Indiana University that typically with football games, basketball games, and things like that. We're actually utilizing them to help us in that downtown area by doing some of that foot patrol, again, to kind of augment our lack of resources that we're trying to develop over time. So these are all things that we were doing, and as summer hit and as our problems went up and we saw those things, we just realized and recognized that it wasn't enough right now. So we have significantly switched our priorities and put a lot more people down there with a lot more emphasis on the area. Now, this isn't different from what we had before. It's just we were kind of all spread out and responded to all of our issues and tried to do what we could down there within space. We prided ourselves on the amount of time we respond to calls. And so these are all type of priority changes that decided, you know what, we're going to go down there and we are going to make sure that this bad behavior stops. And while I've seen some really erroneous reporting in a variety of newspapers, including the AP, which talks about us going against the homeless, this has nothing to do with the homeless population.
It's a behavior problem.
Many of those people. It is a behavior problem. Many of these problems we have down there and issues that are going on are people that have addresses, they have homes.
Yeah, I was going to say that there's no doubt in my mind that they're driving really nice cars for being homeless. So I doubt seriously they're homeless.
You know, and so we're dealing with that behavior. We're dealing with that fighting, the drinking, the drug usage, and the things that made it very unattractive to go to downtown. And that's our focus. And it has nothing to do with the homeless. And I can guarantee you that if it's parents' weekend and two drunk parents are fighting in front of Kilroy's, they're going to go to jail. I know that because I've done that. So, you know, it has nothing to do with who they are, whether they're students, whether they're some of the population experiencing homelessness. And, you know, one of the problems with the homelessness issue, too, is that they tend to be victims a lot of times. So by us getting down there and dealing with behavior problems, we can actually help protect them as well.
Steve Kellums is our guest this morning. The captain checks in from the Bloomington Police Department. And we had talked about this as we've spoken to you every other Monday here for the last year or so. And 6 months ago it was, we don't have the resources to have somebody in that park or in that area 24 hours a day. As you mentioned, this is a shift in priority now. So it's not like you've hit a windfall of cash and have added all these. This is just a juggling act, correct?
That's exactly right. It's a juggling act. You know, Chief Dekoff, he recognizes the problems and the issues, and, you know, he's made some priorities. And while these were always, these were priorities we've had in the past, but what we learned over time is that, you know, when you have two or three or four priorities, then nothing becomes a priority. And that's kind of the problem we found ourselves getting into. We had so many things we were trying to do and wanted to do that we weren't putting the attention or effort into any one particular thing. Right now, we have made a very particular priority.
And obviously, the results are showing. What has been the initial feedback here in the last, I don't know, week or so since this program has started? I saw it with my own eyes. I believe I was down there. What was it? I was down there last Wednesday, I believe, around 1:30, right when it all started moving in that direction. And I saw three or four uniforms hanging around the park, and there was nobody in there, which made me think, well, geez, if I'm not doing anything wrong, why would I vacate the space?
Yeah, why would you leave?
Right. And again, it goes back to we've known that all along. Every time we've added patrols, increased patrols, done overtime issues down there, you know, our presence has an effect, and we know that. So that's why we know that this is going to work. Our big goal right now is to see how can we maintain this and how can we keep this going, because it's going to be something that's important for us.
Well, my boyfriend and I have taken several drives down through to see what was going to happen because of the result of this. Because I'll tell you, quite frankly, I didn't want to go downtown and do much of anything here recently because it's been very unpleasant. The people who have congregated, the panhandling, some of the very aggressive behavior towards just people walking around was really objectionable to me, and I did not feel safe. So what I saw the first couple of days was it seemed like things had really kind of turned around at the park, and I hadn't really seen this, but last night when we were driving through there, we saw four officers down at the park, and the majority of the people down at the park seemed to be just like normal people. But then up on Kirkwood, there seemed to be a congregation of people trying to make a point. And, you know, they had a bunch of belongings with them. It looked like, you know, that whole group that had been hanging out at Seminary Park had just moved a block and a half up the street.
Right.
What are we going to do? Thank you. What are we going to do in, I mean, you know, I understand that there's a limitation to how much we can do, but what do you do about that? Because, I mean, there
was... Well, if the behavior's not an issue...
Let him answer, please.
Right. No, it's the, you know, we know we're going to displace issues. That's the thing with officer presence. That's one of the reasons why... It's one of the reasons why you see 2.5 officers per 1,000 as a national average in the United States for staffing levels for police departments is that you can't be everywhere at one time, and you need to have resources to address your problem areas. You know, right now our resources are focused on this area, so we know if after a period of time it's going to be displaced, and we will figure out where those places are, and we'll try to respond accordingly. And that's when I talk about having to, you know, kind of keep this up. How do we maintain this? Is that as these problems move, our strategies and resources are going to have to change to address these problems in the different areas. We know we didn't wave a magic wand and make the bad behavior go away, and that's unfortunate. This is going to take a long time and a lot of work and effort and resources to keep it going and make sure that we can keep Bloomington a beautiful, safe, wonderful city to come visit, live, play, work, and do all the things that we want to do.
And downtown as well at People's Park, we read in the newspaper that you're adding another camera down there. How does that work?
Yeah.
And what is the we put up signs that say don't do this. We put up people to say don't do that. What is a camera going to help with?
Well, we hope that the camera will do a couple of things. We hope it will discourage poor behavior. We've started to see some dividends of that in Seminary Park. Because we've got some cameras up there. One of the issues going into the summer is we haven't been able, it's technology issues, so our cameras haven't gone up as fast as we'd like. This is, you know, stopgap measure. So once we start getting those cameras up, we hope that it will discourage bad behavior. And then when we do have some issues or incidents happen, we'll be able to go back, utilize that video to make arrests off that and get charges against those people that are causing all those problems. And again, hopefully eventually change the behavior that we've seen growing for a long time downtown.
So you have the cameras, you have the extra patrols, you have the backing of the mayor's office. Obviously, the chief, Mike Dekoff, has put this into place. And is there a time frame on it, or is it going to be a volume determinant? If this continues to be what it is, it continues on, or are you hoping to what's the end game to this, I guess I would say?
Well, there's no time frame on it right now. We're just going to reevaluate and see how things are going. We're used to that at the police department. Pushing cats, you know, it's pushing water, herding cats. It's doing those things to try to keep all the juggling taking place. So we're going to reevaluate where this is at, look and see where we're going and some of the things we need to do, and continue to push that technology as well, which we've done over the years, and all those things we need and the resources we need to keep this going. So the end game ultimately is to make the downtown a nice place to come and visit, and we know it's going to take a lot of time, and we're going to work real hard to have that happen.
But anybody saying that nothing's happening or nothing's getting done down there is absolutely off base on that. So that's the good news. There are things happening. The mayor has been down there on foot. They have seen the results of the surveys they've done, and this is a very, very big deal. So that's why there's the change, and Captain Steve Kellums has done an excellent job explaining how and why that's going to happen. Now, you've been busy doing other fun stuff in the community. The last time we talked to you was all the way back in May, and you were getting ready for CrossFit with a cop. I'm out of shape here on a Monday, so tell me what happened.
Well, we had a great time with CrossFit with a cop. We always do. We love working closely with Hoosier CrossFit. They're such a great community-based organization. And they've actually just moved and opened the Hoosier Athletic Club on Walker Street, a beautiful brand-new facility. They're offering they're grew in size tremendously. So I highly recommend anybody interested in getting in shape.
That is just down the street. I can roll to their place from my house.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. And you know what? It's one of the greatest, best ways to get in shape. They do a wonderful job of scaling for those people for where they're at on their fitness levels to help them get to their fitness goals. So, you know, check them out, particularly at their new space. It's just absolutely gorgeous. But CrossFit with a cop is something they support with us every year. And we had a great time working with that. And doing it, and you know, we're going to continue to do more of those as the years progress.
So not just one a year, you're going to up that? Is that what you're thinking?
Maybe. I'd like to one a year, and if not one in the spring and one in the fall.
See, that'd be cool.
I'll have to talk to Sean and see if they can help us with making that work. But again, I would love to see us do a lot more along that area. One of the big things in the 21st century policing was officer wellness, and that's what we're doing with this. Is not only pushing it with the community, but I'm pushing it with my own people, trying to get those officers in there. The job is such a high stress job, and
they need to work out.
Extremely physical. It's also a long period of time of not being physical, so it's easy to let your physical fitness slide. So this is a great way not only push it with community so they can come out and meet officers, but to keep an officer in good shape.
Yeah, I think that's very, very true. I don't think people realize sometimes how quickly you can lose your physical fitness.
Right.
We've got two other things to talk about. One, you had family night at Crestmont. And so how was that? Looks like
great.
The kids enjoyed it.
We've done that several years in a row now. We've got National Night Out, and those family nights are all those things we like to do and get out into the community. You know, we spent so much the early part of this program talking about the downtown, but that doesn't mean we're ignoring all the other aspects of our community and getting to the other neighborhoods and doing all the various extra patrols and community events that we can do. So we had Neighborhood Resource Day at the Farmers Market, and we had officers there along with some of our explorers, you know, meeting and talking to people and talking about some of the resources for the neighborhood associations and organizations. And then the family night in Crestmont was just another one of those.
Okay, and then the one thing that we've talked about previously is the Teen Academy. It sounds like you still have a couple of spots. How many have you gotten? What do you think?
Yeah, we've still got, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but we've still got spots available. Last year, we actually increased the size of what we could, we expanded of what we could take. And we average around 40 kids or so, but we can take as many as 60. So if that's something you're interested in or your team is interested in, just send me an email. I'll be able to respond, or at least one of my associates will be able to respond with all of their information needed to register for that. You've got about another month before registration closes. It's July 24th to 28th. And we've been posting a lot of pictures on Facebook over the last couple of months of just the kids during that time, and they just have so much fun. And the officers have so much fun, too, because we just get to spend the whole week with the kids, talking to them, hanging out with them, eating lunch with them, working out with them, showing them what we do, and learning a little bit about them. So we just love the program. Anyone that's interested in law enforcement or, you know, just looking for an active, fun summer week, they should give us a call and come on out. This year, I believe that we're not even in competition with the fair this year, which is really nice.
They've got a new time on that, so that's good.
So we're good.
So we have one last thing that I really want to make sure we cover. You still have spaces available on the actual police department for people to apply, don't you?
We always have spaces available on the police department.
Well, we want to make sure we get people to know about that, because I think that's really important. So
we have a hiring process going on right now. June 21st is the deadline for applications. So you'll have to have your application turned into us by June 21st. And on June 24th will be the physical fitness test and the written test for the hiring process. That's going to be on June 24th. And after that day, we'll start ranking. We'll do interviews, background investigations, truth verification tests, and everything that it takes to get hired. We have two positions available at the department right now that we're hiring for. And again, we're always trying to look and fill those open positions as well as those potentially or anticipated open positions that we believe will come. So, you know, it's what I keep saying about making a difference in the community. And I think that with what's going on downtown right now, you can really see what we're able to do. And being a part of that's really a lot of fun. And I just encourage anybody that's even interested in law enforcement or interested in making a difference in their community to apply for us and come out. It's been a 26-year career of mine, and I can't think of ever doing anything else. And it's extremely rewarding. And at the end of the day, whenever you lay your head down and close your eyes, you know you made a difference in this world. That's a great job to have. And so law enforcement's like that. And being a part of the Bloomington Police Department, it can just really be very rewarding and amazing. So you've got a couple of weeks left to get those applications in, get them turned in, and come out and see what it's all about.
Taste of Bloomington's this weekend. How does that rate on the radar?
Taste of Bloomington's awesome because we don't really have any problems at all. it makes it pretty easy for us. You know, you kind of put people down in that confined area, and we usually have a couple of officers assigned down there, and they provide some security as well, and people tend to be pretty well behaved and not a whole lot of problems, so we really enjoy that. And it's fun for people to get out and see, you know, eat all from all the different restaurants and everything, and listen to some good music and those kinds of things. So Taste of Bloomington is a really fun event. And a lot of times we'll have officers that aren't working that actually go to it. So great event for the community to go to, and it's not a problem for us, so we like it.